Our next speaker is David Skeel. David is a professor at Penn in the law school. He's also a member of the Financial Oversight and Management Board for Puerto Rico. Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Larry. A columnist in Forbes last week said that he, quote, blamed Skeel for giving scholarly credibility to the idea of bankruptcy for states. Another reporter
I think that's right.
Described I do get a certain amount of blame. Another reporter said something similar. He described me as an evangelist for state bankruptcy. So I think that's why Larry has me here today. There are three things that you should know by way of background if you haven't been following the state bankruptcy debate closely since Mitch McConnell's remarks kind of re-triggered it. And even if you have been following it, these three points are sometimes lost. The first one in particular, the first point is that states currently cannot file for bankruptcy. The bankruptcy laws allow cities to file for bankruptcy under what's called Chapter 9, municipal bankruptcy, if their state allows them to file, but states currently cannot file for bankruptcy. So there is no bankruptcy for states now. Second, any state bankruptcy system, if state bankruptcy were enacted by Congress, would have to be entirely voluntary. So the idea that Illinois, which is the poster child for possibly needing bankruptcy, the idea that Illinois could be thrown into bankruptcy against its wishes, that would not be possible under a bankruptcy law. The bankruptcy law would have to be voluntary. If Congress tried to pass an involuntary bankruptcy law, it would clearly violate state sovereignty. It would be a violation of the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. So what we're talking about is an option for states to file for bankruptcy. Third, I should acknowledge, as an advocate of state bankruptcy, there are constitutional questions about bankruptcy. It would be challenged. It would be challenged in particular under the Contracts Clause of the Constitution, which says that states can't impair contracts, and as a violation of state sovereignty. My view is that it would be constitutional, at least if it were framed properly, but I do have to acknowledge there would be constitutional questions. Now, the quickest way to make the case for state bankruptcy, in my view, is to show that the principal arguments against state bankruptcy, the arguments everybody says for why it's a horrendous idea, actually, when you look at them, demonstrate the virtues of state bankruptcy. So start with Democrats. Democrats who criticize state bankruptcy typically because they believe that it will be used to wipe out pensions, it will be used to whack public employees, and therefore it will be terrible for these groups. Now, it is sometimes pitched that way by folks who are advocating for it, but this is entirely a misconception in my view. And in fact, bankruptcy actually would provide for a much more equitable distribution of the sacrifice. What happens if you don't have bankruptcy and if a state is in severe financial distress? What happens is the distress tends to get visited on one or two constituencies, and the constituency that is hit hardest is beneficiaries of services in the state. That's what gets hit first. That's what's getting hit in Illinois. Bankruptcy would provide for a much fairer distribution of the sacrifice. Everybody would have to sacrifice, but no one or two constituencies would be hurt worse than anybody else. And in fact, in the big bankruptcy cases so far, pensions have done fine. In the Detroit bankruptcy, pensions were adjusted a little bit, but the hit was not terrible. Stockton, California bankruptcy, the pensions were not adjusted at all. Republican critics of state bankruptcy typically argue that if you had state bankruptcy, it would just destroy the bond market. No one would ever buy state bonds again. There's some problems with this argument. One problem is it assumes that the bond market can't tell the difference between fiscally responsible states and fiscally irresponsible states. And that's just not accurate. The market does a pretty good job of distinguishing between the two and punishing the fiscally less responsible states. To the extent there was an effect on bond prices, it would be because we'd be taking away the bond market's assumption there's going to be a bailout if a state gets into trouble. I think bailing out states is a terrible idea. So to the extent there's an effect there, it's not really a problematic effect. Finally, if bankruptcy was terrible for the markets, we would expect that municipal bankruptcy would have destroyed the municipal bond markets. But that's not the case at all. Cities can file for bankruptcy if their states let them. This has not hurt the bond markets at all. So bottom line, it seems to me nobody wants bankruptcy for a state, but the alternatives to bankruptcy are either a bailout or a complete collapse and potential default if the state is in deep distress. Both of those are worse than bankruptcy. Finally, Larry mentioned I'm on the oversight board for Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico's restructuring case, which has been going on for 3 years at this point, is the closest thing we have to state bankruptcy. I've come away from it so far thinking that state bankruptcy would be a little messier than I once thought, but that it actually works pretty well and is in the end advisable. Thanks.
Great, David. All right, well, this officially begins the question and answer period for the group. I'll start my first question for David, who just finished speaking. David, are you surprised that this is the time to propose and maybe get some bankruptcy legislation? Did we have to have a crisis, whether it came from COVID-19 or elsewhere, that would allow some kind of combination of cash to the states in exchange for bankruptcy, and why does there have to be a trade-off politically?
Well, I think there does have to be a crisis. Realistically, you don't get state bankruptcy without a crisis. That's what we've seen historically with cities that have been in deep financial distress. Why is it? Because in my view, nobody wants to face up to the reality of what it would be like if there were a massive default. There's opposition from both sides of the aisle, and that opposition won't break down unless there's a crisis where people begin to realize there's no other choice. I would not have guessed that this would be the crisis. A month ago, I wasn't thinking, gosh, we're going to be debating state bankruptcy. But because of Mitch McConnell's remarks, which I think were designed just to make the point that he thinks that the state should be given funds to plug the hole in their balance sheets from the coronavirus crisis, but not to bail them out. That was his way of making that point, and lo and behold, state bankruptcy did wind up on the agenda.
Perfect.